TCU signs its highest recruit in the modern era. Alabama versus TCU to start the season? It might happen. Coaching changes all around, and Ryan gets tested for COVID on this week's episode of The Killer Frogs. I'd like to welcome everybody. This is May 13th of 2020. Yes, it is still 2020. And on tonight's episode, we've got Ryan Zeller. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing great.
We also have Hunter Nix. What's up, Hunter?
What's up, guys?
Everyone's still in quarantine mode. We also have TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil.
What's going on, everybody? How's everybody doing?
Woohoo!
He is smoking a very nice-looking cigar tonight.
Yes.
And we also have TCU Hall of Famer WC Nix. What's up, Dubber?
What's up? Excited to be here, you know, talk a little football or something.
Finally, right? Because It looks like we may actually have a season, maybe not the season that some schools were hoping for, and we'll get to that in our second segment. But to kick things off this week, and not to bury the lead, let's talk a little recruiting news. And Hunter, let's start off with what we found out just a couple of days ago. TCU signing not a 1, 2, 3, 4 star, but a 5 star recruit in Zach Evans.
The first, yes, the first we've ever had in the modern era of recruiting, I guess, since like 24/7, all that stuff came out. Let's just go over a couple few quick facts on Zach Evans. At one point during his senior year, he was the number one player in the country. He ended up number 16 in the U.S., number one in Texas, and the number two running back in Texas, or in the U.S., not Texas. He's 5'11", 200-pound running back. He runs a 4.5140. He runs a 3.84 shuttle. And if you guys don't know how fast that is, the fastest at the combine this year was 3.97. So, yeah, he's elite athleticism. This dude is a senior in high school and ran faster than anyone in the short shuttle, anyone that was getting drafted this year. And he's got a 37-inch vertical. So, dude is a freak athletically. Yeah. Absolutely a freak. And do you guys – have you – all you guys heard about, like, how his whole recruiting process went?
No, he was Georgia, right? He was
so,
at
– yes.
Signed a letter of intent
with Georgia. Signed a letter of intent with Georgia. No one ever releases that. He doesn't tell anyone that he signed with Georgia. It's told later by reporters, you know, 24/7 rivals. They get the scoop that Zach Evans is signed with Georgia. And a little over a week later, he has asked for his release, and he's released fully from Georgia. So he signs, he's released, and then in the next month, he is linked to LSU, he's linked to Florida, he's linked to Tennessee, he's linked to A&M, and he's linked back to Georgia. And no one knows where he's going. And then out of nowhere, I mean, Tennessee thought they had him, Florida thought they had him, and then I guess about a month ago, GP started recruiting him, and this was the most out of left field I've ever seen, and it's our highest recruit ever.
That's awesome.
What I love is he said that he wanted to stay close home, but he passed up the little school a little further south. There's two schools down there he passed up. There's three schools down there he passed up. There's four schools. There's five schools that are closer to him than what we were, which I love. I just love knowing that he passed all of them up to come down here to little old frog land.
Well, he's from the Houston area, so you can kind of guess which schools Dubber's referring to there. and Hunter, you were right. This really did come out of left field, and it shocked everybody because I don't think TCU was even like the schools you mentioned that were on the radar. It wasn't even – Nothing. It wasn't even in the ballpark. It was
we weren't recruiting him actively until it sounds like about April. So, yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy.
Sounds like a Dallas Cowboy deal with the pick with CD Lamb, whatever his name is in Oklahoma. We wasn't looking forward to getting him, and all of a sudden he appears right in Dallas.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. The dude is a freak athlete. He gave one interview at the end of it, said he just wants to play his 3 years, be a top draft pick, and TCU allows him to show his versatility a lot more than the other schools. He said he doesn't just want to run the ball. He wants to be able to catch as well. So maybe he knows something about this new offense that we don't.
Well, did you see that one guy? We had this posted on the board where there was some sports talking head that was like, you know what he should do? He should go to TCU and immediately transition to wide receiver. Like, what?
Yeah. No.
Some guy, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But, no, it's been interesting. I was actually in a meeting, and I don't know. I was in a meeting. My phone kept blowing up, and I was like, what in the heck is going on? I'm getting calls from Houston. I'm getting calls. I'm getting text messages. Now, I don't even know who this guy is at the time. I'm like, who is that? What's going on? So now I'm in a meeting that I'm stuck in for a while, and I'm trying to, you know, get to my social media.
You must have been
looking
dying.
At my phone. And I'm like, what's going on? And all of a sudden I hear about this kid, and then I go to his highlights, and, man, I'm blown away. I mean, I'm like, wow. And then obviously you start hearing about the negatives, but I'm like, listen, we don't – that's somebody else's headache. If we can just get him in, he's all – you know, get him here, get him under Gary, you know, get his head right. Hey, the talent that I saw on the field, it's definitely worth the risk. This guy is an animal, and I said it before and I'll say it again. He keeps his head on straight, and the program fits, and everything from an offensive perspective with the new with a couple coaches coming back and some new coaches, this guy will be probably the best running back in TCU history. Now, that's a big if, but if we can keep this guy, and to your point, you mentioned his 40 time, man, when he breaks the line of scrimmage, he is gone. Mm-hmm. Nobody is catching him. He has speed that is called football's game speed. You're not catching him. And he's special. He's a special talent. I cannot wait to see this guy play.
Well, I tell you what, you saying that he may be one of the best of all time, given who you played with.
Yeah.
That's high praise, Shannon.
And I saw LT's high school highlights, and I compared the two coming in. I compared the two coming in. I was like, man, this guy is built a little bit different. You know, he looks like an NFL caliber guy now. He's got a freaking 12-pack. He's just he's an animal of a talent. We know guys are bigger, stronger, faster nowadays. We get it. But, again, that's a big if because he's got some big shoes to fill of the history of running back to TCU. But, again, they're faster, bigger, stronger, different system. And in the day's time, if this guy can do what I think he can do, there won't be no touching. He'll shot every running back record at TCU.
Well, what I'm hoping is, I'm hoping real quick your buddy – LT goes and puts his arm around him the soon as he gets a chance.
You know what?
You know what?
I think that'll happen. I really think that'll happen.
You need to come in here. You know, you got to work. You got to do this. You got, you know, you already starting out on a different level than everybody else. If you just get in and work at what your trade, then you got a chance to be great.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm wondering if that had anything to do with it. Shannon, you'll know about this because you used to do this with LT, but his academy, I forget what they've renamed it since I've worked with them. But, I mean, that's got to be a good recruiting tool. That is something that mamas are going to love, daddies are going to love for their children. They come in, and it's about being a great athlete, but it's about having character on and off the field. And I wonder how much of that goes into them recruiting these kids.
Well, I'll tell you like this. If Coach Patterson hadn't made the call, I know that he will because even LT does talk. And here's the thing, even if they don't talk, one of the things we all love about TCU, all of our players for the most part are involved back home. We're at the spring games. We're in the locker rooms. We're there. And I guarantee you, LT at some point will put his arms around this guy and get in his ear, and he'll be okay. That's who LT is, you know. And I know he'll see something special in this guy. And he'll be over there to be a big brother to him for sure.
And you know what else we forgot to talk about, but we can interject it right now, is Andy Dalton being back in.
I was going to bring it up a little bit later, but talk about another big guy who's close to home.
About that.
Pretty lucky.
Yeah. Yes. Best job in sports, right there.
I guess segueing that is these coaches. I mean, I'm with Hunter. I'm excited. I'm excited. They brought Kills in. I'm excited that I think Gary's got somebody that, first of all, I think the offense has got somebody to buffer Gary. I think Gary knows that too. I mean, I think Coach Patterson knows it, you know. But I think he's got somebody to totally trust. And I'm going to tell you, you can tell how close they are because of the things he says. He'll say things about Gary, you know, about Gary and him or this or that, or I'm not going to put up, but, you know. And I'm thinking, boy, they have to be close.
You got to be. Got to be.
I mean, he wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't even try, you know, to say anybody else would try to say them things. It's funny. We were at the recruiting deal right before all this, too, and one of the coaches told me a story about, yeah, first day Kills got there, walked in, Gary, I mean, he's walking in, they're just having a coaches meeting. He's sitting in Coach Patterson's seat. And Kills is like about to die because he's sitting in there, and he just did it on purpose, you know. But he's sitting there in his chair, and, you know, I think that's somebody that, first of all, he can bounce stuff off with. I think Coach Patterson needs somebody like that. He is right. He's getting older. All these coaches are getting younger. And, you know, for him to have somebody there that he feels like, you know, kind of with the same wavelength as him, I think it's going to help.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a colleague. He's not just a staff member. He's a colleague for Patterson.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Right. We'll delve a little bit more into some of these changes in the coaching staff. But I want to real quick, let me circle back to something that Shannon mentioned, because I need a little clarification on this, Hunter, because going back to Zach Evans, Shannon mentioned that there's some stories about him being a bit of a head case, but I'm getting conflicting reports on this. I mean, obviously, we all kind of heard, because we're all in Texas, and we know, you know, high school football is life. So we all know the story about him not giving up his phone and being sat in the first half of the big state game. Mm-hmm. And that was about as far as the information as I had gotten until this week. And now I'm hearing that there's more to this story, that maybe the reason he didn't give up the phone was because there was a sick family member. And the reason why he did set out the first half is because he was pressured to enroll early and he was out taking an ACT.
So, yeah, here's what the semifinals, he missed the first half of the state semifinals this year because he wanted to graduate, or he was being pressured to graduate early. He takes the ACT, he misses the first half, he comes back in the second half, runs for 9 carries, 176 yards, and 2 TDs, and they win the game.
Wow.
So he was missed, but he made his impact known real quick. And then the next week, you know, it's state week. Supposedly, he has a sick family member during that week, and he is trying to communicate with his family. I don't know the truth of this. I don't know what... You know, I don't know anything about it. All I know is the kid has never been in trouble with the law. He's never been kicked out of school. He's never had any kind of problems as far as disciplinary, where he is in trouble with anything other than his football coach. And so at that point, I'm fine. If GP is fine with him, I am fine with him.
Yeah.
Hey, and as my husband said, he said, you know what? They kept Boykin out of trouble for 4 years. They can certainly keep this kid and the rest of the team out of trouble.
3.99.
He was a handful in hindsight. Yeah. through till the very last game. But he'd already graduated. So, you know.
Well, and the thing about that is, you know, listen, let's be honest. We had a period of time where we got some 4 stars in there and some good recruits in there, and there were some headaches. Those years when people were going to jail and this and that. So that's never been our formula. We do two-star, three-star, and one-star guys. And and Gary's done a great job of molding those guys into great athletes, buying into the system, developing chemistry. And that's what's been working for us. But listen, we're at the level now where we're going to get these 5 stars. It's just about how we pick them and if they fit in with our program. And I'm not going to knock this kid yet. Every 5-star smells themselves a little bit. I'm not saying he's squeaky clean, and I'm not putting nothing on him. Those stories could be exactly true. Matter of fact, I didn't care when I heard about the negative, because I'm like, well, he didn't go to jail or nothing, da 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 da. Okay, cool, whatever. He needs to be humbled a little bit. Maybe that's it, and that's okay. We all do at some point. But I'm telling you now, if, you know, until he once he walks through our doors and we see him play, that's when his clock starts. First, let's say a clean slate. And he's a frog, and he hadn't done anything wrong as a frog, and we'll go from there. So I'm excited about it. I until he does us wrong some kind of level, he's got a clean slate with me.
Same here.
He's not kicking down apartment doors or have girlfriends in New Mexico, so I think we're okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing, though. I think Coach Patterson probably did his homework because,
doubt he did.
Saying that, I think there was a time when, you know, when we first started getting, you know, last few years when we really started getting good, there was a time there where, boy, we had some four stars and, boy, we just grabbed them because, you know, it was the first time we had. And mm-hmm. what I think Coach Patterson figured out was some of them four stars, I ain't taking them again.
Yeah.
I go back to three mm-hmm. stars because they were more of a headache than what they're worth. And I yep. go back to a two-star, three-star. And if I go grab a four-star, five-star, anything above. Like Shannon said, you're a five-star. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have some prima donna. Not even.
Think about it. Rager was a high four.
There's no way you can't.
Right, exactly.
But at the same time, I think Patterson has done a good job of late of vetting them four stars and stuff mm-hmm. and not just saying, oh, he's a four star. We got to take him. We'll be blah, blah, blah. I've seen him pass up on some guys. I think he really did pass up on some.
Yeah.
He probably could have had that. He said, you know what? He might be a great athlete. He's not going to fit in our program. So I agree with you. I think he did his homework on this guy. And I'm right mm-hmm. there with Shannon. I'm like, you know what? Give it. Let's see what he does. And let's you know. Hey, they won the state championship his senior year. I mean, the last game. He didn't get to play in it. It didn't hurt the team. It hurt him. I mean, whatever happened to punishment, you know, whether – I'm not going to grapple with the coach. I'm not going to grapple with the kid because I wasn't there. But, you know, when it's all said and done, he'll look back one of these days. And if he was in the wrong, he's going to say, well, I'm stupid, you know. And if he felt strongly about what he did, hey, more power to him at this point in time because I don't know anything different.
Yep. I think the craziest thing about this entire story, and we'll end it with this and we'll move on, but it looked like it was a counselor at TCU who actually broke the news inadvertently, right? Did you hear this, Hunter?
Oh, yeah. So I actually Googled that guy's name because of Twitter. I was like, how does this Yahoo know what he's talking about? And then it shows that his LinkedIn profile says he's like the counselor for Houston area. And I was like, oh, okay. So he might know exactly what he's talking about. But, you know, I didn't sleep much that night because I was like, this is going to drop any second now, right?
You were like a kid on Christmas morning,
was so
Hunter.
Oh, my gosh. I told my wife the next day, I was like, sorry, I'm tired. You were asleep whenever I came in. And I was like, I didn't sleep all night because I was like, we're going to get Zach Evans today. And she was like, what does that mean? And I was like, just know.
What's a Zach Evans?
Yeah. And I was like, well, he's just our only five-star ever. And he's really, really, really good. So, yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Shannon, you know how you talked about how they were blowing up your phone the next day, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He called me that night. Hey, Dad.
I called him that night. Dad, have you heard about this?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, but I got to tell you something.
It was only 10:18, okay? I know exactly what time it was because that's when I figured out.
And I was drunk. I'm not that old yet.
I am. I'll be in bed.
Yeah. Well, he is going to be exciting to watch this season. And speaking of seasons, it does appear that we are going to have a football season. At least some of the country is. There's a little bit of controversy. You can knock on. I don't have anything. Everything's metal out here with me. But there are some states in the country that appear they are not going to get to play football, one of which is the state of California, and that is where we begin our next segment. And the lockdown in California currently is probably going to be extended another 3 months. And what that means for the California schools, they may not be able to travel or play games within the state. And if you know our schedule coming up, our first game of the season is against Cal. And this also affects another big name in college football, and that's the SEC perennial, you know, 800-pound gorilla, Alabama. They play USC in Jerry's World to start the season. So, an interesting little thing happened earlier this week. TCU and Alabama begin discussing contingencies in the case that the California schools can't play, which means, yes, TCU fans, you may actually get a second early Christmas gift, and TCU and Alabama may kick off the season.
Hey, so, you know, we have, I think, a losing record at AT&T Stadium, which is weird, but we have a winning record against Alabama.
We do. We're 3-2 against them.
There you go. Let's make it 4-2.
So we're due a win at AT&T.
We are.
Right?
Especially after that Ohio State debacle.
To me, I don't see any loss in it.
I don't either. No loss at all.
The only if you come out of that game healthy, you don't lose no matter what. If you lose the game and keep it close, you look way better than barely beating California.
Yes.
Plus, they don't know what this offense is going to look like. They've also just come off a quarantine, and they just lost their quarterback, their O-line, their best three receivers. I mean, they lost everyone, which I know they're Bama. They have plenty, but this is we've got a lot of young talent as well.
They don't reload. So they just take the other six-shooter off the other side of their head.
You guys know, I know, when we line up against those type of teams, even when we lost LSUs and everything, we battled Ohio State. We battle. They come in knowing, listen, I guarantee you, they're not going to go into that week thinking they're about, this is a little scrub team, blah, 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 blah. They're going to have to play because they also know if we battle them for two good quarters and they decide to open up at the end, they're going to get a knock against them at the end of the year because they're going to – listen, we all expect for them to be in it. But listen, we have nothing to lose. We're going to go play.
Nothing.
And Garrett, we're going to go lay it online, and I guarantee it will not be like a lot of people that are not frogs think it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And it's so in my my thoughts are it's a win-win situation for us. Regardless. So that's a game we want. Yeah. We want to show that we can play or at least hang with the big boys, which I know we'll do. And it'll be fun. It'll be a fun atmosphere. So I'm hoping that happens.
I just hope that – I hope we make it there. The only thing I'm afraid of is if they do a schedule reduction first of the year, that's all.
Where they go just conference games.
Here we are. We're talking about we're about to hit June, and everybody's in virtual still. So, it takes a little time to get back in the football shape.
Hey, and you know what? I mean, it might be a blessing that our stadium is only usually – half to three quarters full because we can social distance and be just fine and be there for our frogs. And I think that should count for something. We should still be able to go watch our Horned Frogs play at home.
Yeah. I think one of the funniest things that was posted on the board, I think either today or yesterday, was somebody mentioned, hey, this whole social distancing and 25% capacity at AT&T Stadium may actually work in our favor because Alabama's going to be confused. They've never played in front of a crowd that was that small, whereas our players will just think it's just another second half at Amon Carter.
It's true. So
fans, you suck. You need to show up in the second half of the season.
This new flex schedule, because we're on ESPN Plus, will get us out of the heat every game.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons why the Big 12 supposedly signed up with ESPN Plus like it did was so that we could have these flex games and not be burning up, at 11 o'clock in September or August.
Be nice.
Yeah, I want 7 o'clock games.
Yeah, more night games, please.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, I was listening to ESPN today, and they had the American conference that SMU's in? American something conference?
American Athletic.
Okay. So their conference guy was saying that if they're wanting to play, they're like the Big 12 and some of the others, where they said if there are two teams in their conference that can't play, they're still going to have a season. It's just –
Well, they have 24 teams to begin with?
I know. Yeah, I didn't know is how big that conference was. I mean,
it's like the old WAC, right?
We're actually sitting pretty because Iowa and West Virginia are like Texas. They're kind of already back. Oklahoma never shut down. Who else is there? What other state?
Kansas.
Kansas. I don't know about them, but for the most, I think other than maybe Kansas, all the other states are back to work for the most part. So, are getting back to work at 50% capacity, 25% capacity. So I think for our conference, we're not too bad off.
Yeah. And I know from the school perspective, all of us are planning on having face-to-face classes in the fall. So
good.
Yeah. That, at least here in Texas, which I know for many of you parents out there who are listening, you're saying, finally, the kids can get out of the house. But yeah, I'm talking from a college perspective. So I think after talking with a lot of my colleagues and counterparts across the state of Texas, I think we've all been told kind of the same thing right now. Summer classes, for the most part, will kind of be a hybrid online or in-face second half of the summer, and then everyone's expecting to be back on campus in the fall.
So have we heard anything about when the kids go back to start training for their fall sports?
That's going to be
the thing that holds us back more than anything. Because it's going to take, I think what most of the commissioners are saying is they need 6 weeks to they need 6 weeks before the first game to have full training camp or have some kind of training so it's safe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that means middle of
July.
July, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it means middle of July. So
well, it's 2 months from now. So
it's 2 months. So it could definitely happen. It's just approaching quickly, you know. So there will be a lot more in the next 2 months.
Well, and you think about it, the athletes, the staff, and I'm thinking all sports, volleyball, food, and that football's a little tougher because there's just so many athletes. But you can quarantine, especially on a college campus. I mean, I know a lot of kids live off campus, but you can say literally practice is you're eating here on campus and you're going home during these so many weeks, and that's just a rule. Mm-hmm. And then of course they can test you, but we'll talk about that
just
later.
And then it just depends on as far as, you know, what do you do if you're quarantining for sports? What does that mean for those guys' classes coming up different from everyone else if we're saying they are quarantining? So I mean it'll be interesting. Yeah, I really don't know how it's going to end up, but just hopefully there's something. I need sports. I'm tired
of. Well, here's the other deal. If there's not a football season, college athletics will be changed forever. I already heard that Cincinnati had to get rid of their men's soccer program, if I remember that correctly. I heard that over a month ago, so my memory is short these days. Oh, but yeah. I believe that they already had to do that. I know that the Smurf Turf
Boise.
They had to just
– they furloughed their coaching.
Yes, on furlough. Yep. So I'm telling you, I mean, unless this thing is just, you know, you get it and you – it's like I always equate it to a skin-eating bacteria, like you just go down right when you get it. We got to figure out a way to make this work because I mean, that would ruin our country. It really – and people are like, oh, football wouldn't ruin our country. Well, it would because football supports – every other, maybe just not basketball, every other sport at universities, especially small universities.
That's certainly one of the biggest issues right now that a lot of people aren't thinking about because they hear all these, you know, people talk about, oh, we need to bring sports back, and then you think, oh, you're being selfish. But no, if you look at how most of the athletic departments are actually structured, the amount of funding that goes into all of the other sports programs are all supported, like you said, by football for the most part. So a lot of these schools that aren't able to play football, you can't fund, you know, a women's lacrosse team or a women's soccer team or, you know, a men's soccer team or tennis or golf or any of these other sports, which means you are now losing the capability of offering scholarships to millions and millions of students across the entire country. That is huge. And it's not just because of spring sports that gets canceled. It's because of football.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's even, I mean, so you look at the Mid-American Conference. Have you guys heard what they did? So the MAC, which is a D1 conference up north, they eliminated all postseason for baseball, softball, men's soccer, women's soccer, tennis, lacrosse, and field hockey. They are for the next 4 years, they have no postseason tournament in any of those. And then they're also cutting down
4 years.
For 4 years, they said at least, because they can't afford it based on not having their sports this season and stuff. So they're already cutting out 4 years worth of postseason tournaments for all those sports. And then they're making changes to basketball and volleyball as well. So definitely going to be a huge, huge impact to a lot of
sports. Kids that are coming to school who aren't athletes, they're not going to come because you know what? They're not going to hear about your school because that's huge marketing when you're a Division I A school that's good at a sport. that markets, and kids come to schools because of the lifestyle of it, the atmosphere. And yep. TCU had its biggest recruiting just student wise, not athletes, after the Rose Bowl year. That's because we were on the map. I mean, we're everywhere. And people are like, what's TCU? I want to look at it. And they get here and they're like, oh my God, this campus is gorgeous. Look at this Fort Worth. That's a great town. But they would never have known about TCU had we not won the Rose Bowl. So it affects everything, everything. Yeah. People need to remember that.
Well, and with the mortality rate in that age group, college age group and lower, practically almost, well, pretty much close to zero at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a whole lot of risk of opening college campuses. The issue right now is everything else around it. But it's going to be interesting to see how people kind of play this out over the next couple of months, because if California can't come to some sort of a conclusion by middle of July, it doesn't look like they're going to have a football season at all. And that's definitely going to be a big problem. Well, if the Pac can't actually compete, then you're left with – you know, for it, hey, we may actually have a shot at a playoff spot without having to deal with another fifth conference. So that may be a silver lining, but it's going to be interesting to see how this goes.
And I want to throw this in here for all these people that are going trying to hammer smart. We're not saying we got it solid. We're not saying we want to push the COVID thing to the back door. We're all just hoping that we're playing football.
Yes.
Period. It ain't got nothing to do with it. We're just hoping.
I mean, and honestly, if that means me sitting my butt right on my couch and watching the Frogs, yeah. I will do it if I get to watch football.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't have to be there.
But I don't either.
I need to play. I mean, I need someone to play.
Yeah, me too. I agree, Hunter.
Preseason looks so attractive right now.
Anything.
A better beer selection.
I'm sweating my butt off.
I was a week away from the first spring game of my life that GP actually was going to have like a real spring game, and then canceled. And
yeah.
He will never have one again.
Yeah,
he'll never have one again.
No, you know how superstitious he is. He's like, I can't possibly schedule another one. Look what happened the last time.
He brought on COVID.
Well, I tell you what, this year with Patterson running the football and Dixon, I read an article, not to change it totally, but I read a little article, and I can't remember everything, of Dixon with the basketball. You know, they're like, boy, what, you know, Dixon's like, I don't really like dealing with all this, but this is what happens when I'm the president of the deal this year. I gotta deal with all the different, you know.
Oh, yeah, because he's president of the –
So TCU has got a big part in this nationally.
Yeah.
I mean, with our coaches being running their show.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of coaching, let's talk a little bit about the coaching changes. It looks like we got the band back together. And not only did we land Coach Kill, which Dubber was talking a little bit about before, but we also got Doug Meacham back into the mix.
This is interesting.
Yeah, I tell you what though, Dubber, I don't know. You kind of look like Doug Meacham at the moment.
You do. Look at your fluffy hair.
I got some hair right now. That's what.
Hey, real quick, how long has it been since each of y'all have gotten a haircut? Not counting if you went like this week because they're open. Oh my. It's been a while.
It has been a long time.
Good.
He got
like father,
hair.
Like son.
I needed it before. I was like literally like, Sarah, I need to go get a haircut like the week before. And then all of a sudden everything shut down and I was like, I did go get a haircut. So it was already long and now it's getting ridiculous.
Kind of feels good though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've decided I'm not cutting anything till I'm allowed to go back to work.
I've decided, I'm going through what they call midlife. I'm probably not midlife, but I'm
like your fourth time to do this.
I'm just letting my hair grow.
I don't remember it at my wedding. It was like so long.
I like your curly locks.
I don't know when the last time I got a haircut was. I got one right before this started, so about 6-8 weeks ago.
Now, Sean, did you go underground and get a haircut, or
I don't have any hair to begin with. So I don't need a haircut. Although yeah, I will tell you, I am working on beard number 3 during this quarantine. So
okay,
yeah, I have a little bit different situation. Yeah,
I had to, man. I looked crazy. I had hair everywhere, and I started back to work, and you know, wearing these masks now that I'm in sales, and I'm wearing a mask, and I have crazy hair, so I wore a hat, and I'm like, I just don't look professional. People are looking at my eyes. I have hair all out of my mask. I'm like, no. I went to my barber. I'm like, man, I come to your house. I'll do whatever I have to do, but I've got to get a cut. So I went through the back. I went through the back door.
I haven't got to go out and see any customers yet, even though we are kind of open. Unless, you know, my customers have kind of had the philosophy that if I need you, I'll bring you in. But if I don't need you right now, you know, So I'm still sitting. I mean, I've got them on the phone and stuff like that and make sure. But as far as going there ain't no going right now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Ryan? Have you had a haircut?
No. Oh, gosh, no. You know what, though? I normally only get my haircut like 4 times a year anyway, so this is no big thing for me. But I have, nope. I will say, I used to go through a bottle of wine, like one bottle per week, and I'd usually throw part of it out because it would just, I wouldn't drink it all. I'm lucky if a bottle lasts me 2 evenings now. It's ridiculous.
Well, I just drank one, but let's talk about, liquor sales that went through the roof. The liquor stores are like the club. You pull up and it's just no parking.
I'm not going to talk about how many bottles of whiskey I've gone through.
Well, and you know how cool it was when you you could take your alcohol home, because that makes sense, right? I mean, you can't drink it there, so package it up and let me take it home. That they're going to probably leave that in place.
Yeah, I'm talking about.
Also, I really hope that this that they can allow it, that I can just go pick up and they put it in the back of my trunk and I don't have to talk to anyone. And I just order it online. I go sit in my little spot, call in, and they put it in the back of my car. And I'm like, yes, I don't have to do anything. This is the way shopping should be.
Hey, I did a doctor's checkup today as I was checking out a Tom Thumb self-checkout.
Nice.
Kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Not bad.
Yeah, you know, the craziest thing is, and the one thing that I really kind of, I need to get this done, not the haircut. It's I'm out of contacts and I really need to get my eyes checked. And I called the doctor's office and they're like, well, we do it now virtually. I'm like, how do you check my eye virtually? What am I going to do? Stick the camera of my phone up to my eyeball? How does this work? So I need to go get some contacts.
Oh yeah.
I do need to get my eyes checked.
Changing of the times.
Yeah.
Yep, and you're right about that, Shannon, though. I went and got dog food today. And, I mean, during the middle of the day, it was like 2 o'clock. I went and ran up, got dog food. And I looked over and said, what's that line out the door and out the drove down to the liquor store.
Yep. During the week. Not on Friday or Saturday. Like
every day.
There's not a lot else to do.
No, not at all. Nothing else to do.
I got to the end of one of my Netflix shows. And I thought I was going to cry because I loved it.
What shows have you guys been binging? Because that's what all we've been doing.
With Ozark or whatever it's called.
Oh, we finished Ozark.
We've been doing
Tiger King.
I can't do Tiger King, but Suits and was it Bosch?
Bosch. I started that. I hadn't finished it yet. Yeah.
I need to get on Bosch.
Yeah.
I talked my wife into Entourage somehow, so that's been pretty good.
Oh, really? Wow, that's a blast. Cool.
Yeah, it is. That was me in college hardcore. Like, Entourage, I watched every episode, so now I'm showing her. But, yeah, we're trying to find anything at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't been watching – I haven't really been watching anything, but my wife's gone through the whole Tiger King experience, and she's watching all of her murder mystery – Hallmark Lifetime shows, whatever it is.
What's wrong with that, brother?
Yeah, I know. I know you're an advocate of the Hallmark Channel. I'm not going to bring it up, but I really haven't watched anything of particular. I mean, I've been so busy with teaching online and then dealing with kids and trying to do homeschooling.
Yeah, how was the teaching online, Sean? Were you just doing the same things just on Zoom basically, or as much as you could do on Zoom?
Kind of like that. I mean, a little bit of background. I mean, I've been at Tarrant County College for 13 years now, and I spent 2 years at Dallas Community College before that. And back when I was in Dallas Community College, they had a system where you could take a class either face-to-face or online. So if somebody were to sign up for your class, they could say, well, I'm going to take it online, and I'm not even going to be in class. So you actually had to create a hybrid lesson plan where you could teach somebody online. Oh. And this was back in the, you know, right around 9/11. So, I mean, online options, there was no Zoom back then.
Yeah.
I mean, so I had done this in the past the hard way. So when we got told literally 2 days before we were supposed to, the weekend before we were supposed to start classes mm-hmm. back up again. So we had spring break, and then they said, we're going to extend spring break another week. And during that time period, I told all of my colleagues, I said, you need to be preparing for online classes. You know, I prepared, you know, YouTube Live and Slack channels and everything I possibly could for my classes. And they were like, no, because at that point in time, they still told us face-to-face was still a possibility. And I said, you guys are insane if you think face-to-face is going to happen after this week. And sure enough, late that Friday, before we started classes back up, they called everybody back and they said, nope, it's all going online. And so everybody had to make that transition. So for me, it wasn't that big of a deal, and it was kind of pretty much the same thing, doing your virtual teaching. The biggest problem, I will tell you though, is finding the bandwidth in the house when you're trying to do a 3-hour class, Your kid is doing a Zoom class, and your high school, student is doing Zoom classes, and it's like everybody in the house is on Zoom or Google Meet, and it's like, man, there's not enough bandwidth to squeeze out of my router. So, mm-hmm. that's the most difficult part.
Oh, yeah. So second week of quarantine, I actually, in the same week, we lost internet for a day and a half. Ooh. So we're both working from home in a 750 square foot apartment, and we have no internet. So we have to actually break quarantine, go to Sarah's office where no one was working, thankfully. And then we get back, internet's fixed. 2 days later, we lose air conditioning for a day and a half, or for like 2 days. And that was when it got up to like 90 for the first time. It was like 85 in my apartment, and I wanted to murder everybody. I can't leave. It's hot. I can't do anything but work here. Like, it was the worst.
Oh, yuck.
Life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, you have been watching The Last Dance. You know, if you hadn't watched it.
Oh yeah.
Listen, that's what I've been fighting. I've been text warned with all these millennials with LeBron. And I'm like, MJ.
I will say I'm converted. Here's what I keep telling Dad. I've had this conversation many times.
Give me a little.
I'm saying I'd always been a LeBron guy.
Like, right.
LeBron's my MJ.
Right.
But I will say there is just a different mentality there. LeBron I've told this to Dad too. LeBron, I think, might be the best athlete ever, just pure athlete. But MJ was, if I've got the last shot, that's who I'm going with.
Man, like, MJ, no doubt. It's no a doubt different, about it. Different animal, different guy. And I'm different so glad they came player. Out with it, because the young guys, Jordan still, you see little kids now, still wear Jordans. They've never seen Jordan play, but their parents have, whatever the case may be. And the bottom line is now that the world gets to see. Yes. I'm a big Jordan guy. Always. I just bought the new Jordans that came out the other day, $200. Yes, I buy them all. But I'm a fan. I just love him. But now everybody, I'm seeing things that I didn't get to see, and I'm becoming more of a fan. And now it's just, to me, it's put that whole GOAT thing to bed.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
over. It's done with. I have no problem with LeBron. I like LeBron. But Jordan is a different – God bless that dude to be the GOAT, and that's just what it is.
Yeah. I'm with you, Shannon. MJ is the greatest, and Hunter, I'm sorry.
No, but he is.
Until LeBron can carry an entire cartoon movie by himself and swing a baseball bat, there's no comparison, man.
I just think it's crazy too, because, like, I guess I've just never been in a time where the media wasn't such a big part, though. Like, I just think about now, if LeBron was at Atlantic City before game two, he would never make it. Like, it would be like, it's just crazy the difference that the media and like social media and everything plays and stuff. There is just no, like, there used to be some kind of privacy, I guess, but there's none now. Like, it's just insane. That's what I've just gotten out of it too. Like, Dennis Rodman's walking up with a Miller Lite to the game. you know, and I'm like, you know, like he's literally carrying a Miller Lite into the stadium for the game. And I'm like, huh. I was like, I kind of think that's pretty cool.
And drinks different. a beer yeah. before he goes with the cop yeah. escorting him out on
yeah,
another
exactly.
side.
It's just not a big deal, you know? Like, well, yeah, it was just a different time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that you forget. I mean, because I've been back during that time. And so, but. It's funny the little things that you even learned watching it, Shannon, that I thought I knew that you really didn't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, you didn't know.
The social media aspect of it wasn't even there. I mean, yeah. It was not a part of it. But I'll tell you what, the other thing it did for me, because I like you, I don't care if you like Jordan. I don't care if you like him or don't like him or whatever. There's no denying he's the greatest basketball player ever played the game. I mean, there's no denying yeah. that. But – you know, I didn't realize what a genius Phil Jackson was.
Mm-hmm.
But to allow coaches just didn't do that. I just, every time I think about Jordan and them talking about, I told Phil, you can't let Rodman go.
Exactly.
He's not going to go. He's not going to be back in 48 hours. There's just no way. If you let him go, we're going to have to go get him.
Right. Dave,
he didn't have to go yet. But just think about that. I mean, let the guy just go, you know, just let him. Hey, I got to release. I got to go. And you know what? But then in Jordan's defense, I mean, not Jordan's defense, but in Jordan's, I guess, greatness also, he didn't care either because he knew that what kind of player Rodman was, and he knew what kind of, you know, his worth ethic and stuff like that. People that, you know, you don't – in our time, we never saw anything like that. You don't get to see – you never got to see everything.
Well, I'll tell you like this. There's no head coach right now going to call LeBron in and say, hey, he wants to go out of town, and it's your decision. Nobody's going to tell LeBron. You know, that ain't happening. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
LeBron's not the final decision maker. But anyway, that's what that is. Go ahead, Sean. Your show, buddy.
Not tonight it is. No, it's all good, man. I haven't checked that one out yet. I need to actually watch that.
You do.
I mean,
it's amazing.
It's unbelievable when you talk Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and people like that and what they say about Jordan.
Yeah.
It's almost like a joke. I mean, you know, oh, he's so good. And we know he's so good. It's not that we're going to tell him he's so good, but we already know he's so good. And you talk about the, you know, during that era, that's kind of my era. I mean, you know, when I really.
I mean, Jordan and Bird essentially brought basketball to the
freaking world. I mean, they were it. I mean, them two guys right there, they ruled the world back then.
Yep.
Jordan came in and he just made them look like they were really good basketball players.
Yeah. Larry Bird said, "That's not Jordan. That's God playing in Jordan's body." I mean,
mm-hmm.
Come on. What kind of compliment is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially for a guy who played for Boston.
Well, and here's the other part of that too. So I'm really not a huge basketball fan, just in general. I mean, I love anything live. I'll go watch and thoroughly enjoy. And of course, anything that TCU does, I will love, even if it's rocks. Skipping, I will be a huge fan, but I just love sports in general and competition and just leadership and everything it takes to go into being an elite athlete. So if for the women and men out there who don't necessarily follow basketball, it doesn't matter. Don't be scared off. Like, watch it, because it is just a life lesson for anybody. God, especially if you're an athlete, you know, in high school or even college, wanting to, you know, go to the next level. It's something to watch for sure.
You know, so is that on
Jordan
Netflix?
Hill,
I didn't hear that
he
earlier.
He played to win championship.
It's on.
What he did. You might not like the way he did it. It's something teammates did love it all the time, but I guarantee you, at the end of the day, all of them are sitting around knowing they have championship rings and this and that. And, you know, I guarantee you they'd all go back and do it again.
Do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah. That's where it gets me. Like, I just didn't, with things being just different as the way they are, I just can't even imagine someone being that way and not being just raked over the coals, you know, by the media and stuff. And I'm not saying it's a wrong thing. Like, he got to get away with a lot more than what people do now, which is just crazy to me.
Yeah.
Just seeing the straight difference. And then also the brand of basketball they play is 100%
totally different.
It's not even the same game anymore. Like with the three-pointer and everything now, I mean, you can think like back 10 years ago and it looks way different, but like to watch it in the 80s and 90s, it's a whole different game. Like,
well, yeah, and a lot of people would say that was back when basketball was good. I know that's what my husband says. He's like, that's back when basketball was really fun to watch, you know?
Oh, my gosh. It was brutal. Like, the foul for actual fouls. Like, it was
real foul, and it was not flagrant. They're fouls.
No, it was just foul. You had five, and they could be whatever they wanted.
Today, they would suspend you for half the year the way those guys used to get fouled. And, I mean, it's a whole nother ball game, and that's another reason why, listen, no disrespect to LeBron and those guys, but to me, if Jordan played in this era and you can't touch him, think about that.
Yeah, it's over. Come on. 60 points a night, easy.
Come on, easy. you know?
It's not even close.
Times. It's definitely different times.
Yeah, anyway, when you have those guys back in the 80s and 90s that are playing with, you know, face shields because fouls back then were drawing blood.
It was different.
I mean, yeah, it's a totally different game.
Well, just think about the Pistons. Pistons flat said it. They said, we just had to beat him up. I mean, that's what we did that day. We're too quick. So we decided that we were going to beat him up. Every time he came in, we were going to knock him down.
Jordan rules.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And it was. Crazy. It was great to watch it back there because you knew you were good at basketball, but you might get a little WWE in there too. Basketball was a, it was not a contact sport that was a contact sport.
Oh, yeah. A little football.
Back then, though, when they get in a fight, they just break them up and they keep playing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, I love it.
It's great. That whole deal's
been awesome. Hockey on hardwood. That's what it was.
Yeah,
for sure. Yep.
So I guess we're already pushing an hour now. So why don't we end with one other COVID-19 story? And Ryan, I hate to make you relive it, but
take it away.
So you got tested for COVID?
John, before we do that, just mention real quick all the draft picks.
Yes.
Oh,
I think we need to put that on the show. I mean,
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, we definitely need to go over this.
About this year and what TCU did and what they put out. We need to give kudos to all that.
We do. Yeah.
Number one in Texas. Can you believe that?
Hey, we were number one.
We topped the Big 12.
We won a lot of places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we all knew we had talent in a lot of good positions this last season. And we were hoping, you know, at least one of those guys was going to return. But, to see where those guys got drafted, and I'll be the first to admit, if anybody goes on the board and sees where I was placing Rager in the draft, I will totally eat that humble pie because I did not think he was going to go as high as he did. I'm glad he got drafted. I'm not happy where he's going, but I'm glad he got drafted. In the first round like that and ahead of some amazing talent. And I think when you go through this entire class, this incoming class from TCU into the NFL, I think you're going to see a lot of guys that are going to stay around in the league for a long time.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Hey, I told y'all how good Blacklock was. I mean,
you're right.
I knew that I didn't want him to go into the draft, but once he got there and once he showed
his
athletic ability and stuff like that, there was no doubt in my mind that he was, you know, I just knew he'd go in the top three rounds.
Sure. You guys want me to run through these real quick? I got them pulled up.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so pick 21st by the Eagles. 21st in the first round, Jalen Rager. Then you've got Jeff Gladney also picked in the first round, 31st overall by the Vikings. Then second round, you've got 40 overall, Ross Blacklock to the Texans. And then the 96th pick overall, I believe in the fourth round, Lucas Niang. And then Vernon Scott got picked in the seventh round. He was kind of out of nowhere. No one really thought that one was going to happen. He got picked 236th overall, seventh round, Vernon Scott to the Packers. And then
Hunter, just real quick, Niang, I want to throw this in here. If he'd been healthy.
Oh, he would have went top two.
He'd probably been in the top three rounds, maybe top two rounds himself.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And then Sewo and Darius both signed with the Cowboys. Sewo is a fullback. Darius is a running back.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony McKinney signed with the Titans. Cordell Owagwu signed with the Texans, and Trevante Heights is with the Panthers with Matt Rhule. Supposedly, he picked him up after he said he's a great special teams guy, and basically he might make the team based on being a special teams dude. Because, I mean, I don't think he even started for us at wide receiver, but it just shows the show special teams can get you there.
That's
great. That is great. So, yeah. I was so excited about our class.
Same.
Just what they did and stuff like that. So
who would have thought we'd have as many draft picks as wins?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Ouch.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
Love it. It's okay. We'll be better next year. We'll be better next year.
Yeah. I see that being a T-shirt in the future.
Yeah. I don't know. Huh?
That's a good one.
Oh, no. Hey, congratulations, though, to all the Frogs who got drafted. Yeah. The ones who got invited to camps, the ones who got to go to the combine. I mean, it's an amazing story. And if you continue to look, just like Shannon was talking about earlier, and Hunter, I mean, these are the kind of guys we're going to be going after in the future. And we're going to have to get used to the fact that, you know, we're not going to get a guy like Blacklock to stick around for a fourth year, even if he does get hurt. You know, these guys are going to be gone pretty quick. So, you know, hopefully GP can live up to his mantra of growing them up quick, and and we can keep these guys around long enough so they can contribute and make some amazing memories for all of us on the field. So,
well, the plus side about that, it matures our program pretty fast, mm-hmm. because these guys are leaving in 3 years. So, and if they can't and they don't have the grade to leave in 3 years, we get them back for a fourth year. So all it does is help the program. It just matures the program fast, sooner than later, and we don't have to quote-unquote rebuild every year.
But it does make you have to think, and that's to make GP think a little bit more about, hey, if this dude's good enough to play, he needs to play.
Yep.
Period. Right. When he comes in,
freshman or not,
we get these four-star, five-star, you know, if they get, you know, we got to get them in to play, you know, and if they're ready to play, we got to put them on the field. Hey, another shout out too is real quick is shout out for Andy Dalton.
Oh yeah, he's a Cowboy.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
About time. I mean, I can finally retire Cowboy. My Moose Johnston jersey.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that. Y'all, what do y'all think about Dak Prescott? I mean, did he kind of screw himself a little bit waiting so long to start?
Just a lot of money involved.
What people have to realize, this is where I stand with it, and we can move on. Won't be all on. Dak sacrificed 4 years with nothing. Think about what he's done the last 4 years, and mm-hmm. he hadn't complained about money, and he's on, I mean, none of that. This guy deserves the money based off, listen, I love the Cowboys. I'm a diehard. I have people, my family play for them. I'm a Cowboy through and through. Is he worth the money? Sure. Is it a lot of money? Sure. Is it, to me, 35, 40 million a big difference when you're that with you know, 90% guaranteed? Okay, whatever. But here's the deal. Based off stats alone, based off quarterbacks who've gotten paid, and we can go all the way back to Andy Dalton, because Andy Dalton hadn't won anything since he got that $100 million, let's be real. If we go all the way back, the bar is raised off stats and what you've done for me lately. Yep. If you look at Dak's stats, he's the top quarterback, top three quarterbacks in the league. He deserves to be paid. Now, look at everybody around him that got their guaranteed money who hadn't done crap, including Zeke. They got paid. Mm-hmm. Pay Dak his money, Jerry.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I don't disagree with you at all, especially when it comes up to Zeke, because that kid wears me out.
He's your leader.
As long as you pay Dak before you pays Patrick Mahomes, you're not going to lose there, because no matter what, that number is just going up every year, and COVID may change that for a year or two, but by the time this deal's over, it's not going to matter. He will be underpaid by the time it's all over.
Now,
right?
To your point, Ryan, I'm not going to lie. Jerry put the pressure on him because that was a hell of a pickup with Andy. I'm sorry, he has a lot of weapons, and hey, it is what it is. That was a Trump play on that. Yeah. That was a good play by Jerry. And yes, that's got to kind of, you know, I think he's going to have to do something. He deserves to be paid, but listen, I don't think we'll miss a beat now because we have a true backup who can get in there and start and do whatever with all the weapons we have. We won't miss a beat.
So my kind of my point was, I really like Dak. I think he's a stand-up guy, and I don't want to lose him. So y'all feel confident that
it'll get done.
We won't lose him. We won't lose Dak. Him.
We'll be fine. Good.
I like
Plus,
that
with Andy there, I mean, that's just an unbelievable mentor for Dak over the next couple of years.
If we lose him, it's only because he plays almost too good on the 1 year franchise, and I don't think he'll ever get there. Like, they're going to get to a deal just because, I mean, they don't want to put their moneymaker on a 1 year deal. Like, that's
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll get it done.
So I'll close on this thought. With Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is now being coached by Kellen Moore.
Wait, he is? I thought he left. Kellen Moore's
no.
still there.
Did he leave?
He's still there.
He's still there.
No, he's the coach.
Yeah.
My gosh.
That's his coach.
Yeah, that is. That's his coach.
Or should we say Andy's his coach?
Yeah, and he showed him a few things. Think about how crazy that turn has been.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. So with that, Ryan, you got tested for COVID?
I did. So I have to have a surgery tomorrow morning, actually. And so I guess part of the everything that they do, they send someone out to take my temperature and take my blood and all of that. I did go into the doctor's office to get like an EKG and some things like that. But she left, and then she called me back, the nurse did. She goes, I have to come back and give you a COVID test. And I was like, okay. And so she came back, and you know, she was wearing a mask, and then she put this big plastic, almost like a when someone's welding, like a welder's hat on.
Got that shield on there, yeah.
Yes. And so I was like, I heard this is absolutely horrible, and she was like, it's not pleasant. So I kid you not, she takes out this 12-inch, no exaggeration, tiny piece of metal, looked like a needle, with, I'm pretty sure it was a fake Q-tip, because when it was up in my eyeball, it did not feel like a Q-tip. It felt like a thorn. So she sticks it up my nose. I'm like, I'm thinking, I always go into these things thinking, oh, it's not going to be bad, whatever, I can handle anything. She sticks that thing up my nose, where I think, okay, that's about as far as she can go. Yeah, no. I'm telling you, went digging for gold. So she goes up my nose and then hangs around there for a bit and then decides to just start kind of pushing through whatever's pretty solid up in there, pushing through that and then up in there. And then when I just think, okay, you really cannot go any further, she went even further. And so... Wow. And then she has to kind of like twirl it as it's coming out. Yeah. And so I thought, you know, all that stuff's connected. So my eyes, I'm not crying, but my eyes are like, it's like they're spewing tears, you know, they're just coming out. And
you look
I'm like
Arnold Schwarzenegger at the end of Total Recall.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm like trying not to just spew all over her. I mean, she did have a shield on, but I was like, I've got to, you know, collect myself and be somewhat, you know, normal during this procedure. But I was literally, you cannot help yourself. You don't gag because it's not your gag reflex, but it's like you're just like just the whole time.
I would have gotten a bloody nose. I'm already
I thought I was bleeding. And I'm not exaggerating when I say it took about 30 minutes for the burning afterwards to stop. Eyes to quit tearing up. I was, and here's the deal. I was like, well, that was just really stupid to do that on, I think it was, I can't remember now, what day was it, Monday or Tuesday that I texted you all about that? Well, my surgery's, you know, Thursday morning. Well, I didn't leave the house at all until today. And I went to Walgreens to pick up some stuff. And then I went ahead and went to, you know, the grocery store. But I could have gotten it. I could have it now from being out. So that just, it doesn't make, testing to me is just stupid, because you can have it one day or not have it one day and then literally have it the next day. Like, you need to be tested every day. So if they try to give that thing to me in the morning, I'm going to say, no, thank you. Give me my money back and send me home, because, or else they're going to have to put me under. I will never do that again. And I can't believe I almost, you know, when they said, oh, you can pay $30 or $60 to come get the COVID test. Oh, yeah. No, there needs to be a big old disclaimer in there that says
I'll just
do not.
Stay home until
just stay home.
I'll just stay home.
Surgery.
Or not. Just social distance and use your hand sanitizer. You're going to be fine. That's what I've been doing, and I don't have it.
Yeah, Ryan, okay. You're really not helping on the whole get tested COVID front.
Don't get tested.
Well, I know. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to get people tested and get them out of here and show that they're done. You just wiped out 5,000 people. Are like, see, Ryan said it.
5,000? How generous with your numbers are
we just need one of those the more you know signs, right?
Yeah, no. Oh, just stay home. If you think you got it, just stay home for 2 weeks and you'll be done. You have antibodies and you'll be done.
It seems awful. One of the guys at my work got it like right after we got quarantined. And he is still like, he got it 6 weeks ago now. And oh my gosh, dude, this guy is going through it. Like him and his girlfriend got it.
He came back again.
Him and his girlfriend got it. So so then his girlfriend's just came back. Like she had no symptoms the first time. And then about a week ago, she just 102 fever, can't breathe, take her to the hospital. They're like, no, you don't have pneumonia. Like you're going to be okay. You're just going to like get a temperature for the next probably 6 to 8 weeks. That's what we can guess.
Yeah.
Same with the guy. Like, he's still got a bad cough. Like, it sounds awful. Like, I do not want to get it. I'm staying my ass at home.
I'm fine getting it if I never have to take the test again. Seriously. And I will say, too, I think it's been around. I'll end with this story. We had Tri-County Electric come out to my parents to work on some stuff. And the guy who came out, we were all outside social distancing. And he said back in January, 18 people in their office got it. They almost had to close down. At the time, they didn't know it was COVID because it wasn't out publicly yet, but they all had that upper respiratory 103 temperature. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it was, but they didn't know it yet. So I think more people have had it than they realize, especially since people can literally walk around and not even know they've had it. And then on the flip side, other people can be deathly sick. So it's all over the spectrum. Yeah. So anyway, don't get the test. Get the antibody test. That one's easy. Get the antibody test.
And on that PSA.
I love the.
we'll be thinking about you tomorrow during your surgery.
Yes. I'm telling you, though, curiosity killed the cat. You do know that, right? And people are like, so curious. Like, I'm going to go get the test. No, there's no need. Stay home. Don't just social distance. If you want to get the antibody to see if you've had it, go for it. I think that was just like a spit test or something. But this other one, nope. I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy. It was awful.
Oh my gosh.
You're something else.
I think that's what we end on.
I think that's it.
Just drop the mic and done.
Mic drop. Yep. Good night, Mr. Miyagi.
Okay, so for those of you who are listening, obviously you're not watching this, Hunter has been battling a fly this entire podcast, and Ryan and I are memeing the chopstick scene from The Karate Kid.
I feel like Pigpen right now. I've got one fly going around me just over and over again, and I can't get him away.
Oh, good times.
Crazy.
Hey, it's so good to see all your faces.
We waited
way too long.
Definitely.
Yes. Yeah, sorry. We did take a quarantine from the podcast, but like Texas, we're back open for business. So we'll
yes, indeed.
We'll be talking with you guys here soon. Absolutely. But until then, we're going to be giddy over the fact that we may actually play Alabama. And well, we're kind of that honeymoon mode here with five-star Zach Evans and the wonderful coaching changes that we've had and all of our wonderful draft picks. So as of right now, for 2020, at least for the football season, or at least from the football program perspective, it's been a pretty good year. Hopefully it's been a good year for everybody who's listening to us. And we want to thank everybody who has been listening to us tonight. Of course, you can find the Killer Frogs podcast pretty much everywhere podcasts are available. Of course, go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for an account, and you can go ahead and discuss COVID and TCU athletics with the rest of us, because that's pretty much all we've been discussing during this time. And with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. And, of course, that means we all get the frogs up and we get to say,
go Frogs!
Go Frogs!
Stay healthy and stay home.
And don't take a COVID test.
Don't take the COVID test.